B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's the 4 o'clock hour of the Mike Mussinelli Show on a Friday. 4 o'clock hour brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Check it out online, landisbc.com. It's always a pleasure to welcome our next guest on Friday, and he's also brought to us by Landis Block. He's chilling out on the horse farm, but he's doing more than that. He's cowboying it, Chalooch. He's putting a cowboy hat on. He's riding with the saddle. He's roaming around the range. And he's listening for the dinner bell. He's the great Brian Westbrook. What's up, B. West?
You know, Mikey, miss, you're not absolutely wrong. I mean, you're pretty doggone close to talking about exactly what I've been doing between helping my daughter do first grade homework and trying to get my son to do kindergarten homework. We've been at the horse farm just trying to, you know, get away from everything and get back to nature just a bit. It's been peaceful. To miss all of this craziness that's going on out here in our country.
Yeah, it is, and it's good to be out in the open air, I guess, with your family, and, you know, staying secluded there where you've got some activity to do with the kids. But you're taking this horse thing a little seriously right now, probably more seriously than you've ever taken it, right?
You know, I haven't been here in Maryland for a 2-week stretch in 6 or 7 years, probably longer than that. Just because I've been working up in Brooklyn and the family's there and everything. And so this is really the first time we've been at my house here for a couple weeks in a row in a very, very long time. And so, you know, we've been able to enjoy the farm a lot more, been able to enjoy the outside. And luckily here, we're able to go outside and not, you know, be amongst everyone at the same time like we would in New York. And so it's been great for the kids. It's been great for me, too. It's been therapeutic. And that was the reason why I bought the farm in the first place, to kind of get away and disconnect. And little did I know, 15 years later, it would come in handy.
All right, so take me through your day. You got the kids you obviously have to deal with, but then, you know, you have to bring the hay out, or you have to feed the horses. Yeah. Like, how's it go? And how do you dress? You put the chaps on? You put the cowboy boots on? How's it go?
Well, yeah, so of course I get the kids going and everything in the morning, and then I get down to the farm about 9:30. This is a little late for the horse farm, quite honestly. And so what we do is we put all the grain into the stalls for the horses, you know, and every horse has their own stall, and they know their stalls pretty well. And then we kind of just open the gate, and a lot of places bring in the horses individually, but we've trained our horses that we just open the gate, and for the most part, they go in their own stall. That has water and some feed in there. And they're in there probably, you know, 45 minutes or so. And then we let them back out. And then we kind of just do stuff around the farm. We drag their arena to make sure that it's nice and neat. We pick weeds. We put up fence boards. I mean, we literally, it's my dad and I, we have a day's worth of work while we're out there. And so we're dragging fields, seeding fields in the springtime at this point. And so we're doing a bunch of cleanup stuff, just getting ready for the summer as well. And so it's been really, really fun. It's been enjoyable. You know, obviously we can't have a lot of people down there, so there haven't been any lessons going on. But as soon as, you know, this whole craziness gets over with, we'll have a bunch of people down there doing lessons and having some fun down at the farm.
So you pull them in a circle, the horses, and gave them a little circular exercise there? Yeah, whatever that's called.
Yeah, so that's kind of a round pin. And so people do that. Yeah, they put them in there and they make them go around them. You know, if we're going to ride the horse, if we're trying to get them in shape, we'll put them in there. But for the most part, our horses are trail horses. We go out on the trail and we enjoy it. And so I take the kids, throw them up in the saddle, and we just take them around and allow them to see nature, allow them to see the woods just a little bit. We have a good, nice little set of trails there at the farm. And so, it's really, really peaceful. It's really, really fun, to be able to get out there and enjoy it.
I'm trying to picture Tyrone as a ranch hand at the Westbrook farm. Hey, you think you could break him?
Well, I'll tell you this about Tyrone. Tyrone, you know, I think he's a hard worker. He also is so, so smart that he knows how to talk himself out of doing the hard work. And we're doing a lot of manual labor. So I see Tyrone being the type of guy that talks his way out of having to do some of the hard work that we do there on the farm.
Yeah, I'd be out there
because it'd be outside, but like, what do I look like lifting something when a former NFL player's here? Like, he can, you know, he can lift more weight than me. He played in the NFL. He lifted weights as a job. So what do I look like carrying stuff, that bag of feed? But I will help spread the feed after he carries it, because I'm not carrying it.
Like, he's already started. Exactly what I said. He's going to talk his way out of doing any of the hard work. Because, it, you know, at some point, he's a good reasoner.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he doesn't have a law degree at this point.
He's from Pensacola, New Jersey. They made Cowboys in Pensacola.
Funny, my grandfather, when he moved to South Carolina, he bought horses.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, he's got it in his blood, Brian. We're going to make this happen.
Yeah, he bought horses. A lot of my the Johnson family, originally rural roots, they had farms.
I'd like to come down there with Tyrone for a weekend and do some manual labor on the ranch.
Hey, listen, anytime you guys want to come down here, we have more than enough work for anybody to do all weekend long. You're all welcome.
And Nat wants to come, too. Can Nat come? Ride some horses?
I'll be a cowgirl.
She just rode a horse for the first time.
I did.
Did you, Nat? Yeah, yep. Absolutely. You can come ride. And we have some work for you to do, too, Nat. You got to carry. Listen, we don't, male, female, boy, girl, even my kids, they got to do work, too. So that means you got to throw that feed sack up on your back and carry it to the barn and all of that. So, yeah, we don't discriminate down there at the horse.
Yeah, but I'm thinking Nat would do this. Nat would come out with the tray. Y'all want some lemonade?
Yeah. Y'all want some lemonade? And then I'll brush the horse's hair.
Now, Brian, let me ask you a question about the feed, because feed is costly, man. And, you know, feeding a horse, it's not an inexpensive thing that you're doing down there. Do you have to go into town to get the feed?
No, so there's a feed store, and we don't live in the middle of nowhere, so we don't have to, quote-unquote, go into town.
Okay.
You know, we just go around the corner to the feed store.
You got to go into town and get that feed.
We don't have to go into town. We go around the corner, and we get a couple bags of feed. Because the grass is growing now, our horses aren't eating as much feed because, you know, a lot of their diet is the grass that's kind of blossoming on the ground just a bit. So we don't use as much feed now, but we still bring them in twice a day and check them over and make sure that they have some grain in them as well.
You got to shovel those stalls too, man. It can't be fun.
That's the worst part. And so we've kind of, and I don't know that we've trained our horses, but our horses take about 10, 15 minutes to eat. And so while they're in there, we're trying to get them in and out quick enough that they don't even think about using the bathroom in the stall. So that's kind of the trick that we've been kind of working on the last few years here, just so that, you know, we save money on the sawdust, which you put down in the stall, but also you save time as far as having to clean the stalls if they don't even bother to poop or pee inside of the stall.
What are your horses' names? And then we'll get into some NFL issues. So you got Prickly Pete? Khartoum? what do you got?
But they're kind of simple. My first horse I bought, his name is JoJo.
Uh-huh.
His real name is JoJo Dancer.
Oh, okay.
My second horse's name is Hawk. His real name is Incredible Hawk. I have a horse named Don Rico, inspired by some Spanish lady that I was dating at the time.
Did the wife come in and say, change that name?
Yeah, she wants to change that. She doesn't know that whole story quite yet. Because that, and ironically enough, that's her favorite horse, but she doesn't know the entire story behind the name.
It's classic. Now, this is just between me, you, and 100,000 people listening. All right?
That's right.
Go ahead.
That's right. We have Maximilian. So, you know, Maximilian. And our last horse there, my horse, and then we still have some boarders as well. His name is El Jefe, the boss.
Oh, a Jefe.
You noticed.
He
made some NFL money.
Yes.
He just named about 20 horses. He got a whole Kentucky Derby down in that joint. He made some money.
He's got El Jefe down there. All right, Brian, let's talk some NFL issues. And the NFL and a lot of college coaches are now going, this season is not going to be disturbed at all. And they're kind of just like fast forwarding where everything goes back to normal. And I'm not so sure that we would be ready to go back to normal. What do you think of their approach and how they're handling this?
Well, I thought they were kind of bold when they mentioned, when we talked about this last week, when they mentioned the draft would just continue as normally scheduled. I think that without some of the OTAs that you obviously can't have, right after the draft, and some of the team activities that you obviously can't have to get the rookies ready, it was, in my mind, it's almost impossible to have the season go on as scheduled. You know, I still think we have to find out what's going to happen with baseball and the course of basketball way before we even get to the football side of things. But, you know, I think the NFL believes, and this is just the belief of the NFL, the biggest money maker that we have here, is that nothing can affect us. Nothing can affect our money-making machine, but there's no way you're going to have 100,000 people in the stands in August of this year. There's just no way that that happens. You know, we're too far away from some of the safety measures that need to be in place to have the NFL season be prepared to play in August of this season, of this year. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and here's the genesis of this. Jeff Pasch, the league's general counsel, came out a couple days ago on a conference call, and he said the expectation is to begin the regular season as scheduled in September. And then I think it was today, the chief medical officer, Dr. Alan Sills, or he was yesterday, said that certain prerequisites, including widespread testing for the coronavirus, must be met for that to happen. And Tyrone was bringing up a point, and we were talking about it a little earlier, that there's going to have to be a lot of tests that before, you know, if everybody's got to be tested, we're talking about like 3,000 or so tests, and it's not that easy to get the tests.
Yeah, I mean, well, think about this, and I'm not sure that they know this yet. I think the likelihood is a lot less for you to get the coronavirus again. And so let's say a person tests negative, and, you know, and then they're not showing any symptoms, and at some point they go to a football game, but right before the football game, they kind of were in the same area with someone that has the virus. Now they're kind of spreading that same thing at the game. And I think it's just too hard to kind of figure all those things out. And are you going to say, let's say that everyone gets the test, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at some point they say, you know what, you quarantine for 14 days. Now you're able to go to a football game. Is that how we do things? Are we checking the coronavirus test as they walk into the gate? I mean, is that what's going on for football games at that point? To me, it would just be pretty hard to do that. And if I'm a football fan, as much as I love football, I love my family, I love myself even more, how can I feel comfortable bringing my family around 90,000 people and not being 100% sure that I won't put myself at risk of contaminating this deadly disease?
You know, it's really funny. I think that the individual person is smarter than the NFL. Or the NFL's trying to put the big con down, if they actually think. Because here's the doctor who says, and I'll just quote him. As long as we're still in a place where when a single individual tests positive for the virus, then you have to quarantine every single person who was in contact with them in any shape, form, or fashion, then I don't think you can begin to think about reopening a team sport, because we're going to have positive cases for a very long time.
You know what, Mike, and this brings it back as I'm thinking about my kids. And so at this point in New York, they're saying, you know, this was a couple of weeks ago they made this announcement that the kids will go back to school April 20th as planned, right? April 20th. And I'm like, well, what kids? I'm not sending my kids to school because who knows what happened in the meantime. I had a couple of friends that they went to St. Croix. They've been in St. Croix for a month. And so I'm not sure who they've been in contact with. I'm not sure who they'll be in contact with on the way back. And the same thing can kind of go for the other kids in the school. And so there's no way that I'm sending my kid to school on April the 20th. And I can't imagine that anybody, I can't imagine the school system is going to hold to that same standard. But really the same thing holds still for the football season. You don't want to put your fan base in jeopardy of getting sick, because God forbid, and I can't imagine a lawsuit, if someone says, you know what, I was healthy until I went to an Eagles football game and I sat in the crowd or a box with 20 other people, and I was in the crowd with 90,000 other people, and now I'm sick. Just imagine. I would imagine.
That, yeah, we haven't even discussed that part of it, the liability part of it.
People
have their head in the sand about the liability part of this, but you're right. There will be lawsuits that will pop up all over the place.
The NFL is the one sport where if the NBA goes, oh, we need fans. If there's one sport that'll go because they get TV money without fans, it's the NFL. They don't care.
You mean as far as no fans?
No fans. But then even in that scenario where that doctor laid out, that would mean you would need enough tests for everybody on the team. Then if one person on the team got it, you would have to be able to retest everybody. The reason everybody has to quarantine right now is if somebody gets it, the odds of every single person that person came in contact with being able to get a test is slim to none. So the NFL would have to have basically 10 rounds of tests for everybody. What are the odds they're going to have start with 50 tests? Then you need another, they're going to need 300 tests. What are the odds that they can get 300 tests by August just to have practice? Because you get what I'm saying?
Here's the other part, too. But let's say one of the guys, all the guys, let's say at the beginning, test negative for the virus. Then they go home and they're interacting with the mailman, packages at the store, different things. You know, you're putting these guys, a lot of people at risk, the same way that the whole world is at risk at this point. I just don't think that's a very good idea. But also, as we see it, if you're the NFL, you don't want to put things on hold. And so if you're telling me that they're going to have the draft on schedule, then you're going to have to say at that point that we're going to have the season on schedule as well, because it doesn't make sense to have the draft on schedule the same way that we would have had it normally if the season isn't going to start.
Yeah.
They gotta do both.
It's the big con in my view, and I'll talk. We're gonna get to the phones in a second. I just don't believe you should have any sport with no fans, and I'll explain what I mean by that in a little bit. Let's go to Drew in Coatesville. Drew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Drew.
Mike, man, what's up? I mean, right now I'm just putting away my needle-nose pliers because I was plucking out my nose hairs, and then the 10 topics we covered since I've been on hold and ending up with Ryan Westbrook, man.
Needle-nose pliers, man, that'll hurt, bro.
Yeah, well, man.
You need to get one of those little rotating, little battery-operated.
Yeah.
Get right in there.
It's better to pluck for sure.
Don't be plucking them. All right. So good.
Well, then the other thing is anything below the armpit is your smell test. So a girl's got halitosis. I'm all right with that, you know, when I was 20.
Yeah, all right. Go ahead. What's your point here?
It's just I'm covering all the top shit. I think that the NFL and Nashville kind of give us have games without fans. I know you're going to hit it. I heard you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, like, basically we're going to evolve with our sports into this nobody in the stands thing. And I think the NFL is going to be the first ones to do it, you know, because they're going to have testing and be able to, like, keep them safe. And the players' union's going to have to agree to it and everything. The players will put themselves in risk to play the game, but the people won't be part of it. It'll be just televised.
Well, then what good is it?
Yeah, I'll watch it.
You're going to watch it because it's like studio produced. I get it. You'll watch it.
I watch it because football is the greatest sport ever.
Yeah, but it's the greatest sport ever because people are there to verify that it's the greatest sport ever.
When I'm watching it at home on the TV, I don't care how many people are in the
stadium. Yes, you do.
No,
because
I don't.
Because you don't know anything other than that. Because
I know what's at stake.
You think you can watch a football game with no fans. I'm telling you, it will be a totally vanilla experience compared to what you're used to, and it'll just blend right out.
All right, so you can have a vanilla experience, or you could have nothing, Mike. What do you want?
To me, this is nothing. To me, it's nothing.
I'll take the vanilla experience over nothing.
All right, well, you say it now, but you don't understand what it will be like with no fans. Sports was not created in any kind of a vacuum. Sports was created with fandom in mind. Otherwise, you don't have a sport. It's every bit as part of the sport. You represent a certain geographic area to bring your geographic area people out to view it. That's why it was created. It's not like television. And so the whole television experience has to do with people being there.
You know what's funny? So I spend a lot of time watching film of the games. I'm breaking down the all 22. And of course you have no commentators. Mm-hmm. You have no fan noise. And it's a total different experience. Just watching the game. Now, of course it's different from being there, but just watching the game with nothing else, opposed to watching a Sunday night game where you have the Sunday night football, you hear Al Michaels and Collinsworth and you hear the crowd as well. It's a total different experience. And I don't think that people will really understand that until they can see it. Until you're watching
You're absolutely right, because the soundtrack of the sport is every bit a part of the sport. It's like a movie. Mm-hmm. We have never sat and watched a movie where there wasn't a soundtrack. You imagine watching a movie without soundtrack? We don't have any concept of watching a movie without soundtrack. Guaranteed that we go, oh, this doesn't feel right. So what's the point that we have to have sports that much that we have to squeeze games in without fan participation? Is that what it's come to? Like, we're so desperate to have sports. Is sports that important that we have to shoehorn it in?
To the NFL.
I think for some people, the answer to that question is absolutely yes.
Until they get there. That's what I'm saying. Until they get there, then they'll go, ugh.
Yeah, but you're talking about a new TV deal. They just got a new TV partner. If they can have the games, I guarantee CBS, Fox, NBC, Nickelodeon.
They're going to have them.
I'm saying fans or no fans, they want the game.
Well, of course.
They pay billions of dollars.
I'm talking about the fan experience that they're doing it because financially they're going to be committed to doing it.
Yeah, like the NBA may not come back, but come October, if it's fans or no fans, they're coming back.
I get it, and it will be a big blank screen for most of the fans after a couple of games, and they'll go, this is not right.
Perhaps, but I think at first people might be like, oh, it's something. I can watch something. It's better than watching nothing.
I got no interest in it.
I think the people would like it a little bit when it comes back, but I heard something interesting just the other day from one of my NBA guys. He said that for regional sports networks, they have to show at least 75 games on the air before they start paying billions to the NBA for the whole season. So far, they've only played 71 games. And so there's a big push by the NBA to get at least 4 or 5 regular season games in because they want to get that regional, that money from the TV side of things as well. And so the NFL has to take into consideration the TV side of things and the viewership and how people will actually watch.
Yeah, I get it from their standpoint, Brian. I'm just looking at it from a fan standpoint. And the fan has to ask this question. Do we really need sports? Do we really have to have sports where we compromise it to the point where they're just playing without us? That's the way I look at it. We'll take a break. We'll come back, discuss more about it. 610-632-0975 back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let's give a Twitter poll update from Miss Natalie, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Nat?
Thanks, Mike. Poll number one has over 1,200 votes on it. Weekly check-in. Are you and your significant other still getting along? 80% say yes, 20% say no. And poll number two, will football start on time? 41% think yes, 59% think no.
All right, that 80-20 is a fear vote.
You think so?
It's a fear vote.
Yeah.
People don't want to acknowledge it. It changed from last week, right?
Yeah. It's little down from last week.
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah, last week was like 85. But yeah, it's great. First week was like 70-something. Right, then it went up.
80's still pretty high.
It is.
It'll dwindle.
Speaking of that, hey, Brian, you know, since you already revealed one secret, you know, behind your wife, how y'all getting along down there?
You know, we've been getting along really, really well. Things have been pretty good, so I can't complain at all. I've been, you know, again, I get to escape to the farm for a little bit.
Exactly. You're on horses all damn day. You're not in the same house. Come on, man.
That's right. Well, all we do, by the time I get home from the farm, I'm nice and tired, sweaty, take a bath, bathe the kids. Time to eat and get right into the
game. You're out in the plains cooking trout on a cast iron pan, man.
There's the cheat code. Buy land and get a farm of some kind for a quarantine situation.
That's all you need. All right, so we were talking a lot about movies today. And, you know, Once Upon a Time, I finally watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood again for the second time. I saw it in a movie theater.
Yeah.
It was all right. I had more of an appreciation the second time I looked at it.
It grew on you?
It grew on me a little bit. And The movie, I'm just going to relate this to some point here. The movie we're talking about, Richard Gere and Andy Garcia, was Internal Affairs.
Yeah, I think I only saw that like one time.
And in that movie, Nancy Travis was in it. And she had this long, flowing, curly hair. And I thought there was only one other actress that had that long, kind of flowing, curly hair like that. And it was Andy McDowell from Groundhog Day.
Yes.
Remember her?
Yeah, I do.
All right, now she was also in shampoo commercials and everything. Right?
Yeah.
She was a beauty from way back. Well, yeah. Not that far back, but a beautiful woman.
I love that movie.
All right, so I'm looking at this. I'm watching Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and there's this girl in it who is cuter than cute that Brad Pitt picks up as a hitchhiker. She hitchhiked into town, and she would go back, and she would be living at the farm. We're with all the Manson children, the Spahn branch.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going, this girl is the cutest, one of the cutest things I've ever seen. Who is this girl? So I look it up. She's Andy McDowell's daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Andy McDowell's daughter.
Yeah, her daughter.
Her name is Margaret Qualley.
She has two daughters that she, when she does events for years, she would start to bring them.
They grew up in the business or something.
Yeah. So this was the dark-haired daughter. I think she has one that has, like, lighter hair and one that has darker hair. Two grown daughters.
Yeah. Just a fact.
A movie fact
where my mind raced.
Did you see Groundhog Day, Brian?
I did see Groundhog Day. Right. Decent movie. I didn't love it. It was all right.
I didn't love it either.
Yeah, I loved it. It's very rewatchable for me.
Really?
It's You know, I have a mixed bag on Bill Murray. I don't know who he is. He annoys me.
Really?
Yeah, he does in real life.
All right.
Because he used to go to that golf tournament, that pro-am, that celebrity pro-am in Reno.
Mm-hmm.
And he would always have to be like the goof. You know? Like he would wear the goof he had or the... Like he's always goofy.
On Lake Tahoe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I didn't... And then I started thinking about his movies. And beyond Caddyshack, I can't say that I was dazzled by any of his movies, except maybe Stripes was funny.
Stripes was fantastic.
Yeah, Stripes was funny. But then what else?
What about Bob? That was a good movie.
That was a good movie.
It was a funny movie.
That was a good movie. Yeah. Scrooged was a good movie. Groundhog Day's a good movie.
Yeah.
The one with Scarlett Johansson and got her started was an excellent movie.
Well, Lost in Translation.
That's an excellent movie. He's in all those...
Lost in Translation is very artsy.
That was good. I like that. Then he was in the Royal Tannenbaums. He's in a bunch of those type movies. I like him in all of those. Yeah, I like his catalog.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't like the Royal Tannenbaums?
How about you? You're talking about these art film movies.
I like those
Royal Tannenbaums and Lost in Translation.
Yeah,
like
those.
These are like Ritz 2 movies. Yeah,
I like those movies.
Yeah, I get it. I've seen them all.
Can be a little bit too much. He can be a little bit too much. Like, okay, I don't want to laugh all day. I mean, it's just he's a little silly.
Yeah, but in those movies he's talking about, he plays a serious actor in those movies. So, like, that's why I don't know what to make of him.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
I think he's caught in his oddness. He's a guy caught in his oddness.
Yeah, but to me, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Really?
You take that body work from season 2 of SNL through now, I think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. That's a heck of a resume.
Let me ask you guys about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Has there ever been a better cast assembled in a movie? Everybody wants to be in these Tarantino movies, even if it's a little part. Right?
Yeah.
Because
Margot Robbie's part's not huge.
But Brad Pitt, DiCaprio, Margot Robbie, Dakota Fanning is in it. Briefly, she plays Squeaky Fromm, I guess. Luke Perry with a quick hit in it. Al Pacino with a quick hit. Damian Lewis, the dude from Homeland. Emil Hirsch. Timothy Oliphant.
That's good.
Bruce Dern. Kurt Russell. Lena Dunham. Michael Madsen. I mean, think about that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
And all getting paid scale to be in that movie.
Pulp Fiction's cast is about as good if you look into it.
Close.
I mean, you got Walken coming in for that small part.
Yeah, it's close. He gets people to want to act in his movies.
Yeah.
All right, let's go Colin on the cell. Colin, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Colin.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
What's up, Colin?
Hey, Natalie. B West, just wanted to thank you for all your years as an Eagle. You're my favorite player, so good talking to you.
Thank you very much.
Now, Mike, I've been listening to your guys' show for forever, but yesterday was my first time calling. I'm off work, not doing anything. So I was talking about Eagles receivers and just how they might be overvalued. And I was kind of just thinking, I mean, as the league evolves, we've kind of saw that, like, 12 personnel doesn't work. Or not to say it doesn't work, but you're kind of – down the stretch, you need to be able to score quick, you know?
Yeah, you need a wider field. I get it. If the Eagles are telling you their wide receiver core is okay, that's the big Howie con, because we know it's not.
No, yeah, but to that point, I was just saying, you guys were talking about Rieger and Justin Jefferson kind of being their top targets. It just seems like, if the rest of the league has those top three guys of, you know, Ruggs, Judy, and Lamb, like, are the Eagles, like, I kind of agree with you that they're trying to make the smart pick, and it kind of is just baffling to me if that's the way they're leaning.
Well, I listen, they might be right. I mean, how do we know? Like, we think we're smarter because we're looking at these rankings. Right?
Yeah, I get
now,
it.
Like, here's my problem. Like, their eye hasn't been that good in the past.
Exactly.
So if I'm going to trust their eye, or am I going to trust the majority of people who rate those top three guys where they are?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not a paid scout. I wouldn't trust my opinion over them. But
I mean, Westbrook has seen these players, Brian. You saw these players. Now that the notion is that the Eagles, if they stayed at 21, they take Justin Jefferson. And possibly they can move back and they get the kid Jalen Rieger from TCU instead of moving up to get one of those top three or two Alabama guys and CeeDee Lamb.
Well, here's the thing that I know Howie is very conscious of, and that's putting talent around Carson Wentz. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that any of those guys you just mentioned aren't, you know, going to help Carson Wentz, because really anybody would be an upgrade. Any of these top 10 guys would be an upgrade from what we had, I think, last year, especially with a lot of the practice squad players playing. But if you have an opportunity, and this is a big if because you have to have a trade partner, but you have an opportunity to get up and get Jerry Jeudy or CeeDee Lamb, then you do that. And I think that Eagles are very, very willing to do that. I've also heard recently that they want to stay put at 21. And to me, that makes no sense. You go find yourself an elite receiver, an elite number one receiver to pair it with Carson Wentz. That's the move.
Well, that's what they're saying, though. They're saying their evaluation says that guy that's going to fall to him is more elite.
How would that happen?
That's the judgment they're making, because they're saying, well, look, we have expert football people here. You know, who cares what the mock drafts say?
Yeah, I understand. And here's the truth. He may turn out to be more elite. However, what the college tape says versus what he'll be able to do in the NFL may be two different things. I think that when you look at CeeDee Lamb, because I've watched a bunch of his tapes, obviously Ruggs is the most explosive player, probably receiver at least in the draft, and Jerry Jeudy, all three of those guys can go get it. They can be your number one guy that can step in to play right away. Just remember, the Eagles need to have a number one guy to step in. We're still not sure what's going to happen with Alshon. DeSean Jackson is a two or three at this point in his career, if he can stay healthy. They're going to need at least another two receivers to help them play throughout the season. And so that means you're going to get a guy in the first round, maybe second, maybe third, but you need at least two guys and coming out of this draft that's going to help you throughout the football year.
I gotcha. All right, we're going to take a break. By the way, it wasn't the – he played – Bill Murray played in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Not the Reno thing. Yeah, and he showed up with a goofy pants.
Yeah, I got
goofy
hat. What you were talking about.
You know, at that point, it's like, I remember Kid Rock showed up with overalls. At that point, it's like, not about you. It's about the game. Go respect the game. It's not about you and your goofy outfit and your goofiness. It's about the game. You're on a golf course. Respect the course.
Oh, okay.
All right, Brian?
Well, I think that's his role. That's his whole thing.
Yeah, forget the role. You now you step on a golf course. You're no longer Bill Murray. You're a golfer.
No, you're coming out there as Bill Murray.
You come out like a clown. You'd be like a clown. You can be a clown when you're in your damn movies. You're in a golf course. You respect the game.
That's his role.
Yeah, I have a role. He lost the role. He checks his role at the door when he goes to a golf course. That's what you do.
You don't check the role at the door if they're bringing you there as Bill Murray, the center of attention, the goofy guy.
They don't need his center of attention. They got a million other celebrities. It's about the game he's playing with pro players.
Yeah,
not about Bill Murray.
Perhaps he's intentionally giving the middle finger to golf. That's what Boone suggests.
Bill Murray is a big golfer. Yep. He's a sacred believer in the golf game.
I don't know if he does.
You are
a sacred believer.
He plays a lot of golf. He should know better. Kid Rock's just a schlub. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
446, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. We were talking about the jersey numbers yesterday, Brian. Were you are you a numbers guy? Like, do you remember numbers of certain players?
I do.
You remember guys that you played with? Like, if I would give you a number, you could tell me that guy's number?
Oh, man, now you're testing my memory. I think I'll be pretty good on that.
All right. Like,
let's give it a try.
What Runyon wear?
69, absolutely.
All right. Let's go with Buckholzer.
28, the general, the real Buckholzer.
He wore 28?
Mm-hmm.
Hank Fraley,
that's a good one. I'm going to say 63?
Might be right. I think it was 63. Anyway, there's this. I don't have my Eagles list here. I think I threw it out yesterday, Tyron. We had like the best guy that played at a certain number.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How did you feel about the number 00 or 00?
Hate that number in football. No good
football. in any sport.
Good on the jersey.
Let's say basketball. You okay with it? See, I'm an anti-zero guy.
I'm okay with the single zero in basketball. The double zero in basketball is no good for me. No.
Okay. I don't know. Did you grow up liking a baseball team?
I like the Yankees a little bit.
Oh, you're a Yankee guy?
I'm not a Yankee guy at all. I'm a Phillies guy. I'm really a Nationals guy as well, which kind of I know is going to make a lot of people in Philly upset. But I am from D.C.
Yeah.
I
know you like the Nationals. I got it. All right, let's go back to the phone. Let's talk to Ed in Wilmington. Ed, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ed.
Mike, how are you?
What's up, Ed?
Brian, it's my pleasure. You should be a Nationals guy. It was a great World Series. I don't know if we're going to get sports back. And I don't know. NFL, the golden goose that it is, and it is leaps and bounds ahead of everybody else, and they think they're going to proceed, but I don't even know if that's going to happen. Tyrone made a good point, though, about testing everybody. If there's one sport that could, it would be them, and I think they would still watch that game without fans.
Everybody's going to watch it. I mean, I'm not saying that people aren't going to watch it. What I'm saying is it's going to come off eventually as an empty experience for people.
Yeah, well, for me, I mean, I love the whole fan participation, but I think they could be the one. You know, golf would make the most sense, like you said, that social distancing and everything like that. But I think the NFL out of the big four would be the one that's going to forge ahead and find a way to make millions and billions, and even if they have to spend money on testing of the players and all that, somehow I think they're going to they're going to forge ahead.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm just looking at it like from a human being viewpoint. It's like, are we so desperate that we have to shoehorn a sport in that just isn't a sport? Without fans, it's just not a sport to me. I'm sorry, that's part of the whole narrative.
I agree with you 100%. I love the NFL with the fans and all of that. But
we don't know anything of the NFL other than what we know of the NFL, which is packed houses. You know?
Which is why?
The packed houses, the roar.
Yes.
We think that we would welcome any kind of football, but I'm telling you, it would be such a more shallow experience that we wouldn't like it that much.
Yeah, I think.
All right, well, we'll see.
Still clamor to it, though, Mike.
We like the sport, but I'm telling you, it's going to feel very incomplete, and we're going to go, well, what's the point? Now, Brian, you don't feel that way.
Well, no, I think you're wrong. You're saying, are we that desperate for a sport that we'll watch it without any fans? Absolutely, we are that desperate. You're talking about, and one of the questions you've been asking all week for the last couple of weeks is, how are you and your spouse getting along with having to be together, 24/7? And the one reason that people will welcome it in any capacity is so that you don't have to, be in the same room talking about the same things with your family and not just your spouse,
right, but
your
family, just like,
and everything else.
The theme that I'm going, do we really need it in this form? Is what I guess I'm asking.
Well, I think so. I think that's the answer to that is yes, that we will accept anything at this point that we're saying, we miss the game. We miss football, basketball, baseball so much that we'll accept the game in any form that they're willing to give it to us because we have literally nothing else to do. Nothing else to do.
Is that a good enough reason? We have anything else to do, so we need it?
Yeah,
good enough.
All right. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
All right. Drew in Westchester. Drew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Drew.
Hey, Mike, how are you, bud?
What's up?
Hey, so before I get into the whole topic of sports and fans, I just wanted to throw a couple of other comedy movies that actually fall under the heist category, too, that you guys didn't mention. One of them happens to be one of my top five favorite comedy movies of all time, and it's A Fish Called Wanda.
Yeah, I like A Fish Called Wanda, but it's more of a comedy than a heist. It's a contrived.
It starts with a heist to begin with.
Yeah,
so,
but that would be in a comedy. I like it a lot. The movie's very witty.
Yes, it is. And what about Snatch? You like that one?
I considered Snatch. That's not a bad heist movie.
Okay,
it's a Guy Ritchie, right?
Yeah, Guy Ritchie. Yeah. I mean, he's got Brad Pitt,
former Mr. Madonna.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. All right, so as far as fans and sports go, I would be totally opposed to bringing back sports and having them without fans. I think it takes away the whole principle of the whole sporting concept that's been around since the time of man. It's always been to entertain the spectators, and to have no fans in attendance at a game, I think it's just going to take away from the overall play of the game itself, the flow of the game, and just, I don't want to just watch it on TV. I don't like watching it without fans. I mean, I like hearing the roars and the boos and the oohs and all that. I think it brings that much more.
See, I think we need to bring it back when we can bring it back. That's the way I look at it. But
I think we're just that desperate that we need to think that way, Mike, but I don't want to think that way. I mean, I'm really...
No, that's what I'm saying. Don't serve any wine till it's time. Don't serve football till it's time.
I don't think we're going to see sports until next April, Mike.
Wow.
That's my real opinion, man. I don't think we're going to see it again until baseball next year, maybe.
Is that a possibility that we don't see sports till next April, Brian?
Yeah, that's pretty fast. I mean, that's a long time to hold us off.
I can't imagine that would be a possibility, but.
That's a lot of Netflix movies. I'm going to give you a movie on Netflix, a little series that I've been watching that I watched all day yesterday. It's called How to Fix a Drug Scandal. Have you seen that? How to Fix a Drug Scandal. It's pretty cool. It's about, so obviously, if you get arrested and you have drugs on you, they have to go to the lab to be tested. There was a big scandal about the people that worked in the lab. There are two young ladies that worked in the lab. One is a drug addict. One became a drug addict and started using a lot of the evidence. And the other one was just not doing the test and just saying, hey, it's marijuana, it's cocaine, it's whatever. And it's pretty good. You should check it out.
I will check it out.
How to Fix a Drug Scandal.
All right. I'll check it out. Brian, always a pleasure. Enjoy the weekend on the farm, and we will talk to you next week, and maybe we'll be closer to getting back to normal.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right, there he is. Brian Westbrook joining us every Friday, brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at LandisBC.com. All right, well, you will take a break. We'll come back. We got the big 5 o'clock hour to close out the week. Your phone calls are next on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.